Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 3 of Joe Van's Secret Podcast. Okay, so my guest today, for the third time in a row, is a female. But the different thing is she is from a different generation. So for the first time, I'm going to be talking to somebody who isn't, you know, in their young 20s without a house or family or anything like that. So, guest number 3, please say hello.
Hello.
Nice to meet you. We've met before on many occasions, yes. I'd say for basically my entire life. So the first question to start everything off is, what is your profession?
I am a teacher.
Specifically?
I teach high school science. Specifically biology. And now everyone knows who I am.
No, well, what do you mean? That could be anyone. A biology high school teacher? Right. How many of those exist?
That's what I do.
Nobody knows what city we live in. I don't think I've mentioned that at any point to the general public. And what else do I have? Next question will be, how was your early life?
That's kind of vague.
Yeah. Open to interpretation, however you might take that when you first hear that.
I would say that it was, like, to the best of my memory, a very happy childhood.
Yeah. Was it lonely? Was it full of people?
It was full of people. I was never lonely. Always, you know, had friends, played outside a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's the biggest difference.
Person.
Yeah, and especially with kids growing up today. I can only imagine the technology difference from growing up in, you know, however many decades past. Is that a lot of kids growing up now, or, you know, even if they come from a big family, it's hard to, with today's economy, for both people working and, you know, not to just get stuck inside with TV or something.
Well, we certainly watched TV, but we also, you know, there were tons of kids in the neighborhood, and we played outside on the street and running back and forth between people's yards. There weren't fences up between yards.
Well, yeah, I guess the city was a lot younger back then too, right? Yeah. Were there still orchards and stuff like that?
Yeah, there was.
Wasn't like urbanized.
There was nothing north of Fairview, and even the other side of, well, now I'm giving away where we live.
Well, yeah, but in general, development of the city is.
But even, I mean, not just that the city wasn't as developed, but it was just, you know, and I suppose in neighborhoods where there's a lot of young families, so I'm sure the kids play on the streets, but it wasn't like the parents were sitting on the driveway watching kids play on the streets. We were playing on the streets by ourselves.
Yeah. A lot more safety in today's parents. Like in young parents,
like
now, the stereotype is
hyper
safety, where it becomes unhealthy, where kids aren't allowed to get scratches or anything. You know, everybody's got to wear helmets. Hypersensitivity, I guess, to everything.
Yeah. Well, some of those things are,
well, they're legitimate. Yeah, I mean,
but
like, kids died back in the day because they disappeared in a ravine somewhere and then one of the kids didn't come back. Not that I know any stories specifically about that, but a lack of parental supervision could lead to something like that. And people are just a lot more risk adverse nowadays than they maybe were back in whenever, in the yesteryear.
Well, I think it's because there were so many kids playing together, you kept track of each other. It wasn't like somebody was just going
to
go wandering away down a ravine, but
yeah,
I guess it did happen.
Yeah, true. Yeah. All right, well, next question. Are you a working person at heart?
What does that mean? I prefer to lounge?
A workaholic compared to
a
sloth.
I'm not a sloth either.
But you think you're dead metal, where you work because you have to, but, you know, you lounge out, but then you also, if you just were lounging every day, it'd be too much.
I think
so, a healthy medium.
I don't want to call myself a sloth,
but
I'm not. I know I could be
doing more, I guess, but I'm definitely not a workaholic.
Sure.
No, I'm not. But I am not
Well, you
lazy.
Still get out. Yeah,
lazy.
Let's say hypothetically you had 2 months where you just weren't working and just anything, you could just do whatever. Would you do absolutely nothing, or would you go jogging, meet up with people, you know, do stuff?
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Create projects for yourself.
Well, I wouldn't create projects, but
okay.
There's stuff that's
so that's
stuff that needs to be done, and
so it's getting done.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, so a healthy
get
medium.
It done.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair enough. So next question, and this one becomes more in the metaphysical realm. Do you believe in destiny?
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know, honey. That one really... Oop, I'm allowed to call you honey. That one really...
Yeah.
I don't know, honestly. I don't know.
So
I don't think so.
You don't think so, but you
don't
know.
I don't think I do. I think stuff just happens.
Yeah, because the two extremes of the destiny spectrum would
mm-hmm.
be indeterminism, which is the philosophical field of... everything's completely random and anything can happen, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side is predeterminism, which is everything is completely set up on a path and you are basically in a roller coaster ride
yeah,
of your life.
I don't think
there's
so.
No shifting. So, but you have a different sort of outlook being a science teacher
mm-hmm.
than other people,
yeah.
because when other people hear things like destiny,
yeah.
I feel like a lot of people, and this is through no fault of their own, but a lot of people are sort of like in this illusion that humans are it. I don't know if that's just because they don't go hiking a lot. They're not part of nature,
oh,
but
yeah.
it's like just people oriented.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, so it's like when you say something like destiny, they think
yeah.
of relationships
yeah.
or career
yeah.
options with people,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
metropolis based, very person to person oriented.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't think of actual just physics, the laws of physics,
yeah.
asteroids destroying
yeah.
the human
right.
civilization.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
they're very person oriented
yeah.
when they hear, do you believe in destiny? So
right.
they say, yeah, I believe in destiny in a way,
yeah.
but it's like, I still get to choose my path.
Yeah.
So a half and half, but for you,
yeah.
it's, you understand more of the science behind reality and how particles are just smashing into each other.
Yeah.
So anything that could happen, could happen. But I will add this to that perspective, is that there's this other field called determinism,
mm-hmm.
and it sits right in the middle between the two, and it's saying how there's no intelligent path created for you,
mm-hmm.
so you're not destined in that sense, but everything that was ever going to happen was already going to happen because of the past. Like, everything's a slave of the past, so it's like, you may think that, oh, you could just, you know, either walk outside or just stay in all day, and you have a choice, but it's like,
mm-hmm.
not really, because you have social conditioning. Like your brain is set to be in a certain way. Like, you'd get too antsy if you stayed inside
mm-hmm.
and you literally couldn't. So you'd have to go outside kind of thing
mm-hmm.
and everything where it's like the universe had the Big Bang and the particles started exploding
mm-hmm.
and it seemed completely random and it was random. But if someone were to like step outside of time and they could see the end, and it's like that end was always going to happen because of that particle hitting that particle there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the butterfly effect, but
yeah.
in the extreme sense, because
yeah.
of time,
yeah.
like we look at time as an arrow going forward. So
yeah, but at the end, you're going to say, of course that all happened
because
this was better.
Yes.
Well, it happened because
but
it's
doesn't
just
mean
you're
it happened
tracing
for a
those events back. That's
doesn't
right.
mean it happened for
yeah.
a reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Cause my way of looking at it is there isn't a reason that everything's
mm-hmm.
happening, but everything that was going to happen is going to happen because of the laws of physics. Because there's no like way to abuse the laws of physics. There's no way to, there's a black hole you can go through and you go back in time and
mm-hmm.
stop your past self from doing it. It's
yeah.
like your past self always did that prior to your knowledge that you have now. And, you know, if I get hit by a car 10 years from now, that was always going to happen. And it was a freak accident where I stepped out at the wrong time.
Well, it was always going to happen after it happens.
No, but also in the future. It's like right now there could be some guy who's having a bad marriage and 10 years from now, he got a divorce and he became an alcoholic and he's driving a car that he shouldn't be driving and he hits me as I'm stepping out because I'm feeling a little too confident. But it's like all of those events of me having those thoughts, because our thoughts too are also part of the laws of physics. The neurochemicals of us shooting ideas into
mm-hmm.
our head happens in our subconscious and then comes to our, who we view as ourselves, the preconscious. But it's all part of the laws of physics as well, our thoughts and intentions. So it's like I was always going to take that extra step that day.
So you believe in the law of intention? Like you can make something happen with your thoughts?
No, the complete opposite is that we're a slave to our thoughts. Like we don't have no control about what our emotions make us do, right? Like,
well, thoughts and emotions are different things.
Not really. It's like we're being driven by our emotions. So it's like my thought that I want to get a promotion is because my emotions are a certain way. If I'm depressed, then I won't be driven to try and get a promotion. So it's like our emotions, I think, control us completely. And we have no choice one way or the other. But either way, I'm interviewing you, not me. So for you, you say, not really, but you don't know.
On That's destiny. Right.
Yeah, very good. Next question.
I like it when people say to me, things happen for a reason. And there's a positive outcome. People say that.
Because it makes you feel good, but it's like, you know that a hurricane just killed a bunch of kids for no reason, you know?
Oh, yeah.
There's so many natural disasters happen that take out innocent lives.
Yeah. Like, why does that, there's no rhyme or reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People who say everything happens for a reason in a good way, literally just have to blind themselves to natural disasters.
Yeah.
And psychopaths who get away with it and all that kind of stuff, right? That's just bad. What are you going to do, right? Because nature isn't evil, but it's also not good. It just does.
Mm-hmm.
Things just happen, you know? Same thing with evolution. So, next question. What do you think about Canadian history? So far, people have been confused what I say by that. But
well,
do you have
I know
any
what you mean by that.
Yeah.
The perspective is
of the
British.
Yeah.
Because
they're the ones who wrote the history books.
Yeah. So I know that I've always thought it would be so neat to be able to go back in time and be here when this area was occupied just by Native Aboriginal populations, Indigenous peoples, First Nations peoples.
Yeah.
Just because the area would have been so pristine and beautiful. But also...
Well, yeah.
I've always appreciated those types of documentaries or films that show their perspective. And I'm well aware of all the horrible things that the British and French did to the
natives at the time.
The First Nations populations.
Yeah. And I was just going to ask, because I don't know if you know this, but did they cultivate agriculture or did they not?
Who?
The natives. The Native Americans.
You mean, did they practice like agriculture?
Agriculture, yeah.
Well,
maybe to a small degree, but not to the state of making apple farms or something.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. I really don't know the specifics of the details of what they.
Yeah, because obviously they're more advanced than just hunter gatherer. Like they had stations. They built villages.
They moved around based on the time of year.
Yeah,
seasons, I think.
But they still built, like, really big houses. Like, they had halls that almost looked like Nordic halls. Yeah. Or Nordic halls. It's like, it looked like they were well on their way to being the same way that we were, right? I think they were just behind because of the whole migration time it took for them to get to North America.
Why do you even say behind? Because they lived in harmony with the land.
That's true.
And
I shouldn't look at technology as a good thing.
That's right.
Necessarily.
Their way
of
life was sustainable.
Was good. Yeah.
It was sustainable. And it didn't pollute the environment and...
For the sake of manifest destiny, because I'm pretty sure that's what drove Europeans was religious aspects, right? They were like, this land is ours to dominate, because that's what the Bible tells them.
Oh.
So they just went to town, and that's why industrialization happened. That's why they felt the need to just spread, because they're like, this is ours. It's right for the taking. But natives had a different religion where different animals or spirits... Right, the rain spirits and the bear spirit and all that. Not that I know the specifics, so I shouldn't say it like that. But in general, I understand that that's why they didn't dominate the land the same way the Europeans did. They just lived with it.
Well, it wasn't about...
It was just about living.
Living in harmony for sustainability and respecting their environment and all the plants and animals in the environment.
Yeah.
Because that's what was prov- providing them with food and shelter.
And it's what their parents taught them, what their parents taught them. So it was also part of their tradition to migrate and to just do that. Yeah. Yeah. And then plus, like another thing I think of when I ask that question is the whole aspect of like just making the history books of the perspectives. Because it's like you have the native perspectives. Yeah. You have British, which is the only one that I know of in the Catholic school board, and then French, which I don't think is mentioned too much, and then also the Africans, who were taken as slaves to the New World, because they're a perspective as well, because they're from a completely different culture and tradition, even though it would be hard to try and find the history.
They lived in European society. That was...
Oh, beforehand? No. How long ago did slavery begin?
Well, slavery's existed for...
Oh, I guess all of human history.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just but in different cultures by...
Different people.
By different cultures.
Yeah, that's true.
Enslaving...
Persians enslaving other Persians.
This question would be better asked of somebody who studied history.
Was a historian? Yeah, that's true. Very true. But anyway, so that's your take. So next question. Do you enjoy still art?
Still art?
Compared to movies or music. Do you enjoy drawings, paintings, sculptures?
Yeah, but I can live, like, it's not like I have to, I have to have that piece of art or that sculpture or whatever.
Or the example I usually give is, like, when you think of, like, those sculptures on the corners in Toronto, corner streets.
Nope.
You don't really care about that.
Yeah, true. I live without it. I like different little things in the garden. Stuff I like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like certain paintings. Like, I like certain pictures. I like,
What would you like the most?
Scenes. I like farm scenes. And
is it mostly paintings to topple the rest compared to sculptures or drawings?
Yes. Yeah, but it totally depends. I could like a sculpture, but it's not like I have to have certain pieces of art or I flock towards...
Yeah, you're not art inclined, but you still enjoy art.
Yeah.
That's good. Next question. Do you have a hobby that you dive into?
No.
If given the chance. You don't have anything? Like, if you had all the money in the world and or all of the time in the world? Like, would you read all the books?
No.
Would you travel the globe?
No. Oh, travel? Yeah. But I wouldn't want to travel alone. So, again, I'm not doing that to...
Unless you got someone else.
Yeah, I'd want to do that with people.
Yeah, it's not for the sake of doing it. It's for the experience.
Yeah, to share with someone. I don't know. That's a good question because I've never,
taken the time to
I've
think
never
of
had the time to
hobbies.
Develop a hobby.
Coin collecting?
No. I'm not interested in that.
TBA, gotta find out first.
Yes, I still have to discover what my hobby is.
All right, so then the next question would be, and this one, you can skip any of these questions at any point.
Okay.
What is your political view?
Oh, pass.
Pass?
I don't know enough about politics either.
No, but like spectrum-wise, dead center?
What is
right, left?
I believe in providing social services, so I think that's important, I believe in that, helping the less fortunate and those that need it. I think that's important.
Yeah, those who capitalism doesn't work for because they have mental disorders or what have you. The people who didn't make it. But yeah, you believe in helping those less fortunate.
Yeah.
Because that is a political stance at some point, so you do feel strongly in helping the less fortunate.
I don't think big business needs big tax breaks. I don't think they do. I think they should pay, big business should pay big taxes to help out small business and the less fortunate. So whatever stance that is, that's what I would say.
Very nice. Next question is... when did you have a turn in your life, a turning point? Did you have many? Because like I said, you're older than the other people that I've had on.
Oh,
not that I'm going to give an age.
They had turning points, your other guests?
No, but I always give the example for myself.
Yes.
Or actually, no, my last guest did. She had two.
Oh, did she?
My first guest had none, and I had only had one.
Uh-huh.
So the single turning point in my life was when I hurt my back.
Oh, yes.
And when that happened, I became obsessed with storytelling.
Yeah.
In general, and started writing and just getting obsessed about that.
Yeah, I don't think I've.
There's no single event that changed
made
any
me
sort
recreate
of
myself.
Okay, yeah, you'd say that.
No.
No.
Well, not that I'm going to talk for anyone in the world to listen to on your podcast about. So, next question.
Yeah, skip them. What is your favorite franchise/movie? So I don't know if you'd have a franchise. I don't know if you dig into it. Like, you love all the Mission Impossible movies, or you love all the, I don't know, the Lord of the Rings, or all the Marvel movies, or whatever.
I have to be reminded, because when I watch movies and I enjoy them, and then I forget about them. I don't like, I don't like memorize words from the
you
movie
just love
and
the
recite them. And,
yeah.
You
don't have to have a favorite franchise, but everybody's got a favorite movie, even if it's not one that, like, always comes to mind for you. Just when you think of a great movie, what comes to mind?
Gosh, golly. Like, that's the thing. So, you know, what's your favorite song? What's your favorite movie? I like
you don't
lots
pay attention.
Of different stuff, and I don't have
none
one
of
that's
them
like,
are tops.
Oh, that's my favorite of all time. But if somebody says, hey, did you see this movie? I'll be like, oh, yeah, that was a good movie.
Okay, then what about genre? Do you have a favorite
again,
genre?
I like...
Horror. Do you love horror?
No, okay.
There you go.
Horror, and I hate suspense, and I hate all the gory stuff.
Yeah.
I hate all the scary
the
stuff.
Action. Yeah.
I don't like all the freaky, witchy, weirdo stuff.
So, that all the paranormal movies you don't like.
Yeah, don't like any of that.
Yeah.
So I like, you know...
Romantic
comedies.
Or like crime dramas, maybe?
No, I don't like that either, because I don't like seeing people being murdered. I like what's his name? Iron Man or whatever. Those.
The Marvel movies, yeah.
Not all the Marvel movies,
but
I
Iron
like
Man
Iron
movies.
Man.
Yeah.
For action, or Star Trek.
So sci-fi, you could say. You like sci-fi?
I like sci-fi to a certain extent.
Yeah. Like Star Trek over Star Wars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I also like dramas that aren't romantic comedies. Like, I like a good, you know, dysfunctional family type of movie. I like those.
Have you seen
have a message.
Blue Valentine?
Oh, I think that's not a dysfunctional family.
What do you mean? It's a broken marriage that falls apart, and that's what you're watching.
Yeah, but they're two young people.
It's true. Okay. So,
anyway,
what would be a dysfunctional family movie?
I don't know. Where it doesn't always, it isn't always like...
Easy breezy.
Yeah.
I recently watched a movie called Leave No Trace with Ben Foster, if you know that actor.
Nope.
He's usually good in everything he does. He does mostly drama.
Yeah.
And he, like, not to diss him, but it's like... He looks like a Seth Green type, probably just because he's short. Like, he should be in comedies.
Yeah.
Not even that Seth Green originally wanted to be in comedies. I'm pretty sure he just did it because it paid, and he knew that he was short, so it worked. But Ben Foster is a great actor, and in that movie, it's sort of a dysfunctioning family kind of thing. It was directed by the same guy who did Winter Bone, which I haven't seen, but it kickstarted Jennifer Lawrence's career before The Hunger Games. And so this movie is about a dad, just a single dad with a daughter, but he has like extreme PTSD after going to war. And so they live in the woods, but, you know, and then the movie starts with them being caught and being like, you're not allowed living in public property. And then so them trying to live a normal life. And the daughter, like, it just, the trials and tribulations that come with something like that. Where it's like the dad's supposed to be the adult, even though he's the one with the emotional problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would highly recommend it. Since you don't have a favorite movie or any movie to
offer, I probably do have a favorite movie, but those things don't come
they just skip
off
through
the
your
top
head.
Of my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. What about a book?
Oh, same thing, Joe.
Same thing. I thought with a book, you read it, you spend a month on it. that it doesn't retain.
Forget. Like some people read a book and they remember everything, and I'm like, I totally forget if I even read the book.
It's like Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, mind gets erased.
Yeah.
So I grew up reading Anne of Green Gables, and I really those were good books.
Yeah.
And I like historical fiction books.
Yes, actually, that's something I was going to say. You notice that a lot with the stuff you read, and I couldn't even begin to get into that. I wouldn't find that.
Oh, I love that. There's the historical facts are there with King Arthur, but then it's the storyline weaved around it.
Dramatized in a way, almost fictionalized.
King Henry VIII or Cleopatra.
Yeah.
So I forget who the author was that wrote all those, but those were good books.
I'm seeing a Nigel.
Oh, that's Bruce.
The James Scottish. Fifth trilogy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I like what's your name?
J.K. Rowling?
No.
Emily Rada?
No, honey.
Colleen Mick.
See, this is the problem. Oh, now I'm losing my memory.
Diana?
No. Galbraith. Though, yeah, those are all the thingamajiggers. It's not in there, so don't look.
It's okay.
Maybe it is. I have no memory.
That's fun.
She's a famous writer from the 19th century.
Oh, okay. Bronte. So she's probably not around.
Bronte? Anyway, I have no memory. But I'm not a very good podcast guest.
What do you mean? Hey, if you got doubts in yourself, fake it till you make it. It's usually what they say.
Alrighty.
I think you're doing great so far.
Ask me the next question.
Because a terrible podcast guest would be someone who just doesn't want to answer or is one word answering me like as a troll or something, you know? You're putting in the effort. It's great. And plus, we're getting a little feel towards who you are.
I'm the type of person that can't make a decision, has no favorites, boring.
But you do, you have favorite genres at least, we can say that.
Yes.
So it's a feeler. But anyway, so on to the next one, which is, what's your favorite artist slash song, musical artist?
Oh, okay, songs. So I like the Beatles and Elton John and Chicago. I like Chicago. I like all the horn sounds.
Yeah.
You
like Queen at all?
I love Queen. Yeah, so that there we go.
That's a good one.
Oldies from the 70s.
Yeah. And what do you have?
Billy Joel. I like Billy Joel
too.
I like old Billy Joel.
Johnny Cash?
No!
Too far.
That's too far.
Okay. Then, so of the artists that you just mentioned, do you have favorite songs from them? Like Queen, is there one that you always think of where you're like, that's the best?
When I hear it, maybe.
Okay. But not like Killer Queen, No One Bites the Dust.
Yep, like it.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Like
but there's no like top tier.
No.
They're all equal to you. Same with Elton John, Rocket Man, Little Tiny Dancer.
Yeah.
They're just all
my favorite Elton, actually I do have a favorite Elton John song, and that is the one, and you can tell everybody this is your song. Maybe quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is when you're in the world.
Very nice.
What's the name of that one?
Oh, I don't know.
Blue Eyes. I think it's called Blue Eyes.
Okay,
yeah.
Very nice.
That's my favorite Elton John song.
That was a very good rendition. Very good. You probably have the best voice.
Ah, I do
out
not.
Out of, play well, that not back. When you do that, yeah, but out of, I don't know, maybe my last guest would try and compete you, whomever that female was. I got a terrible
singing
voice.
Did she sing
a
song?
No, but I'm just saying, it's better than anything I could say. You know, I can do operatic
and I like
voices.
Musicals. I forgot that genre.
Yeah, that is a genre, because I don't at all.
No, I love musicals.
Yeah. Do you have a top in there? Rent, Across the Universe.
No.
Chicago, I think, is a music. Hairspray.
I liked Hairspray, but I like The Sound of Music.
Oh, of course. Yeah. How could I miss that one? That's the top one.
The Wizard of Oz.
That is a musical, yeah. I don't even think of it like that. I just think of it as a childhood movie.
Isn't it a musical?
It is, yeah. They have a musical number throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Very nice. Solid stuff.
I like Grease. Love Grease. Love Grease.
Yes, that's another musical. It's these, the movies are so old, so they're in my mind, not even as musicals. It's so weird, but... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe I do like musicals, but only old
maybe
ones.
Maybe you do.
Yeah, but none of the new ones. Couldn't get into Rent. I tried. There was a girl I liked, and that was her favorite movie ever. Not just favorite musical, but favorite movie ever. Yeah. So I tried really hard to watch it, but I couldn't do it. 1,600 minutes, however that song goes.
Yeah,
I know,
that's a new one. Les Mis. Come on.
That just recently came out, though.
Recently came out, Joe.
I know it's
a,
I know
one.
It's, yeah, it's like in, you know, on Broadway. So it's been out forever, but movie-wise, because I watch movies. That's my thing. I'm a cinephile. Yeah. So watching that movie, I was like, oh, Russell Crowe, you can't hit a beat. I mean, you know, he's great in Gladiator. Got to give him props for that. But anyway, next question. Let's see what else I got here for you. Okay, this one you might have the best reception with, so we'll see. Who would you wish to meet, fictional or historical? So it can't be anyone alive. So you could pick Michael Jackson because he's no longer with us.
No, thanks.
You can pick someone deep in history like King George. Or you can pick someone fictional like Ethan Hunt from the Mission Impossible series. Or, I don't know, Jack Sparrow. Not that you would want to, but...
who would I
want
to meet?
Like Jane Eyre? Or is she based off of real life?
Jane Eyre is a character that's in a book. Do you see that book there?
No, that's just... Right. Would it be someone deep in history? Like Abraham Lincoln would probably be a dope guy to sit down and talk with.
Yeah.
He was ahead of his time.
Politics. None of mine would be a... Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say... Yeah, because I always... it would be like... not Henry VIII, but, you know, something from medieval times. Somebody...
Yeah, but you also have to keep in mind... It's not like you become a guy...
While I was there.
Yeah, you don't just become a guy. It's like you would be treated as anyone would at that time. So it sucks, but that would be the reality of this fictional situation. You get there, and it's like you want to meet someone.
And I wouldn't even get an audience with the king, so, or Mary Queen of Scots, or
the Queen.
Queen Victoria. Because if I'm just a peasant, I wouldn't get an audience.
You appear there, and you're wearing magical space clothes. They're like, what is this? Synthetic leather, what's
that?
Oh yeah, maybe they would. They treat you like wood.
Yeah.
Okay, so we gotta ignore all that and say it would be king. One of the
kings. I guess I've always been drawn to medieval time stuff and or pioneer stuff. So I don't know if that comes from my pioneer stuff from I don't know.
Well, you were raised in a house built by two hands, you know.
No.
That had nothing to do with it.
No.
I guess it was already built when you were born.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying because my earliest books I read were Anne of Green Gables, and then all growing up watching Little House on the Prairie, I always wanted to live in a Victorian home on a farm.
Yeah. Combination of the two. Old England and the New World.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. So next question. Would you risk going on an adventure?
What kind of adventure?
Who knows?
Yeah, like I'd go zip lining or whitewater rafting, that kind of thing.
So all of those things have a degree of safety. So you'd go on like a 2-week adventure to Thailand. But would you go on an adventure where everything is uncertain?
Probably no, I would not. And I would not do it by myself, so no. I'm not going to just head
Well, let's say it's a team. You're with a team of adventurers going off to find the lost city of Atlantis. Would you go on that adventure? Find Atlantis, and you'd be known for the rest of history as being one of the first discoverers.
Well,
but obviously that comes with a life risk. You don't know if you'd ever come back.
What? I'm not going under the water. I would not go underwater.
No, is that where Atlantis is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is. Well, maybe it's under a cape.
And even, like, to go into the jungles to find, like, a lost...
El Dorado.
A lost tribe of orangutans in the boot of the forest.
Yeah.
No, there's too much danger.
You know what? That question is probably going to get answered the exact same every single time because I'm asking suburbanites.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I get someone from the city, they might answer differently. Like, I feel like if you live in suburbia, you live in a really safe situation. Low crime.
A lot of young people are
super ambitious.
Are seeking adventure.
Okay.
So I don't think it has anything to do with ambition. But, and also, I don't need to end my life early by a snake bite or anything
that.
Like, I'm aware of the potential hazards, and so I'm not willing to
go on an adventure. Because that is basically what an adventure is.
To me, an adventure is like taking a bike ride down to wine territory and doing something like that.
Yeah, but like when I think of the word adventure, I think of...
Danger. You're associating danger with
No. Okay,
adventure.
Okay. So let's take danger out of the equation. But a situation where you don't know how long you'll be, what you'll see, or if you'll come back. Because an adventure is the unknown. It's the unknown. That's what an adventure is, an unknown journey. Journey of unknown proportions, because otherwise it's not much of an adventure, it's just an event.
Not knowing whether you come back,
but in a way where you choose to stay, you find the lost city of El Dorado and you stay because it's glorious.
Okay.
But you're gonna go risk.
I wouldn't stay and leave all of my family behind, so no is the answer to that. I wouldn't do
it. Well, it's a good answer. It's all answer. So next question, and you basically already answered this. There's not really a point in asking, but I'll ask anyway. What is your relationship with violence in your life? You clearly don't enjoy it.
No.
You already answered that.
Who would enjoy violence, honey?
People like getting in fights, but aside from that, people love watching movies like John Wick, where he's blowing people's heads off.
No, I hate all this.
Yeah, so you just hate it. That's fine. Yeah. Easy answer. Now this one is an interesting one. Have you ever heard of the game Never Have I Ever, where the person has to drink? It doesn't really matter. The statement for this question is never have I ever that you would like to do, and never have I ever that you will never do. So I obviously am going to expect that you would never go skydiving.
Yeah, I would never go skydiving.
But what is like... I would
go in one of those skydiving machines where you're just hovering, you know, that iFly place.
Oh, yeah. You do that?
Sure, I do that.
Flight simulator thing.
But I'm not going to jump
out of
the airplane.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it is scary. You're 11,000 feet, you're high above the clouds. I didn't think I'd get above the clouds. I guess clouds are lower than I thought. I don't know. But it's super scary.
Depends on the day.
Yeah. They were puffy clouds. They were not in fog. Yeah. But yeah, so you wouldn't go skydiving, but you would do a skydiving
simulator.
And
I wouldn't do a bungee cord jump.
No, me neither. That's a never have I ever that I will never do.
But what haven't I done that I'd like to do?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could have just posed that as a bucket list question. What's on your bucket list?
I don't know, because even ziplining, it's like, okay, I'll zipline if it's 10 feet off the ground. But
as you're 50.
Yeah, I don't want to zip line if it's like over the Grand Canyon or something.
But like totally safe. There's no risk involved. You'd still not want to do it. Like if it's like one of those giant machine zip line things where it's like, it's not just a metal cord. It's like strapped to this giant construction thing where it's just.
There's always something that can go wrong. Like even
that's true. High winds. Yeah, that's true.
So. What would I like to do that I haven't ever done? I don't know. I think I'm pretty boring.
Maybe travel.
What travel?
No, but China. Where have you not? You've traveled Europe. Would you travel, you know, the Middle East, India, Thailand? I don't know if Thailand's part of the Middle East. Would you go to Asia?
No, I have no interest in going that away, but...
Would you do Africa?
Yeah, I don't really have any interest going there either.
No.
Maybe like Spain, Portugal.
Yeah.
Like there.
Southern Europe. Yeah. Well,
again, to me, it's not about where.
It's the who.
It's the who you're with, so...
But let's say ziplining for 10 feet. That's a good answer.
Yeah, I'd like to climb from the top of my roof down to the street. That's it.
So long as it's super secured.
Yeah. I don't even like those super tall water slide things.
Well, no way.
Yeah.
All right, well, good answer. Now this one. There's no point in asking you this.
What?
Because
would you ever have children?
Would you? No. Yeah. It's if you got to choose, would you pick a life of luxury or of love? Meaning of luxury, but you never love. It's like, you know what love is, but you never get it with someone. Or a life of love where every single day financially is an effort, but you have a loving so-and-so and children and all that jazz. And it's like pure love. It's like you already made the choice because you have a family. So, yeah. No real point in getting into that. Now I get into the fun part where I just have words. But in front of that word, I ask, what is your opinion?
Oh.
So, I'll start off nice and easy. What is your opinion on tattoos?
I don't like them.
You're never going to pull one on you?
No. I don't mind, like, one here or there, a small little something that's meaningful.
A little note.
But covering your entire arm and covering your legs to cover them, you're going to get old and it's just going to be a skunk. I don't like that. I don't like the sleeves.
Just off-putting to the maximum degree.
Yes. Yeah. Especially on a girl who has beautiful skin and they just don't like it. I don't like it.
Yeah. All right. What is your opinion on guns?
I don't think they should exist.
Well, they already exist. What is your opinion on... regulation.
I don't think anyone should be allowed to buy them.
Yeah.
At all. Nobody should have them in their homes.
Yeah, I feel like hunting.
I think hunting is wrong. We do not need to hunt.
No, well, I'll say this. Yeah, because obviously we've crafted animals from way back when in the farming days, and now we just use them in factories in a perverted way that we shouldn't. I feel like with guns, there are situations where nature gets ahead of itself. Like, I'm pretty sure deer population, they do it like rabbits or something, and like they can overpopulate an area where they might wipe out other life by them being too much,
Not really. Deer don't become invasive.
Yeah. I guess, what's the biggest thing that does that? Insects, right? Beetles and, you know, emerald ash borers and all those guys. So it's hard to shoot them. They're very small.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I guess you had a point there. In an ideal world, we'd ban guns. We'd promote eco-friendly cars and everything like that.
Yes.
Yeah. But we live in a world where there's tradition. That's the biggest thing holding guns in America, tradition.
Well, that's in the States.
Yeah.
Like hunting for food, fine. But to shoot for sport?
I'm completely against that.
Horrible.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. If you're living in the out back in Australia or in Alberta where it's like your backyard is just the woods and it's like you go out hunting and you shoot a deer and then you eat the deer, right? Mm-hmm. You use every bit of its meat. You think that's okay?
Yeah.
Because that makes sense. You're doing it to eat. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm on the same field with all that. What is your opinion on abortion? Pro-choice, pro-life?
I'm pro-life personally. Like, I would never have an abortion, and because, you know, but I'm not gonna
deny other people the right.
Like, I wouldn't protest in front of an abortion clinic.
But you're completely against abortion?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, even if it was a 16-year-old who was raped?
Well, you know...
Because those circumstances happen on a daily. Like, we live in a bad world.
Then there's... And like, you can't have one blanket answer for everything.
That's true. But so you wouldn't protest?
No, I would not
protest. But you don't think people should abort?
Yeah.
True. What is your opinion on pronouns?
pronouns.
Yes. Do you know, obviously not just grammatically. I mean socially.
And he?
Yeah. And they and their and they and them. Do you know about that?
What?
Yes. People.
What's they and their?
I don't
they
know
and
which.
Their? In a German they, accent?
No.
They and their.
No. They. So they and their. I don't know how that's used, but they and them is used sometimes for people who are trans or don't identify as a gender. Because they don't want to be a he or she.
Okay.
But for me, I have a gripe with that because it's not grammatically correct. Mm-hmm. They and them is plural, but they're one person.
That's right.
So that's the only gripe I have.
Well, they're one person, but you can say they said this. That doesn't, that's not
that
plural.
Doesn't go against it. Yeah, but them.
But I did see that written somewhere. I saw that written somewhere. They were, the article was talking about somebody, a person.
Yeah.
Who and they were saying. Identify. I can't remember exactly what it said, but I can remember thinking that doesn't sound right grammatically because it sounded like they were referring to a group of people, but they weren't. Anywho, I don't think you need to change all of literature to be gender neutral.
To accommodate, the way
I
look at it.
It's not accommodating, it's just...
Well, yeah, like the way that I would see it is that if, because trans people have existed since humans have existed, right? Hermaphrodites are born.
No.
Hermaphrodites have not existed?
Sure. But that's like that's
a biological anomaly. I know what
yes.
it is. It's a minority.
So trans hasn't, like,
well, when
transitioning
I say,
from one gender to the other, that didn't happen 100 years ago. People may have dressed that way, but they didn't have surgeries, right?
Yeah, what's that called again? Transvestite. No, they're dressing like the other.
Oh, yeah, but that's different, because a transvestite might just dress that way, but they still identify as
a guy. Yeah.
Anyway, so in terms of the pronouns...
Like if you had someone in your family or someone like a student at school,
yeah.
If they said, can you please refer to me as they, them instead of she... Would you do it?
Well, yeah, but you're only referring to them as she if you're talking about them to someone else, not if you're talking to them. So I wouldn't need to be dealing with those pronouns.
Face to face. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So what is your opinion on nationalism?
I don't know.
Are you proud to be a Canadian?
Yes, I'm proud to be a Canadian.
Okay.
I feel safe to be a Canadian, and I feel...
Yeah, so it's good.
Yeah.
Pro-nationalism.
Yeah.
Well, okay, maybe I shouldn't say that. That sounds kind of loaded. Because in today's climate, saying pro-nationalism almost makes you sound xenophobic. Because there's globalism and nationalism, where neo-Nazis are pro-nationalism. It's like, why can't you be pro-nationalism without being a Nazi? Who knows? But yeah, I'm proud to be Canadian.
If I have said anything politically incorrect during this interview...
HMU.
What does that mean?
Hit me up.
Well,
you don't have a Twitter.
It
means talk to me. But yeah, anyway. They don't know who you are. You could be anyone. You're anonymous.
All right.
What is your opinion?
Any stranger who calls you honey.
People have called me honey who are strangers before at restaurants. Who knows? You could just be a waitress. So I'm like, hey, you want to be on the
right,
podcast?
Sure.
Yeah. So what is your opinion on marriage? I mean, not, you know, I already know. Pro-marriage?
Pass.
Okay. What is your opinion on space travel?
Unnecessary.
Humans.
Unnecessary.
You're not going to say that.
Yes.
How dare
you?
It's not the future of humanity, you think?
No.
It's not. We should just stay on this dirt ball. We shouldn't go explore the universe. How dare you? I'm just scolding you for your opinion. No. Hey, it's your opinion, Tad. You think it's unnecessary?
It's unnecessary.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, well, honey, what are you going to go on a spacecraft and be put to sleep for 50 years?
30,000 years.
Yeah.
To get to the next star
yeah.
system. Yes.
Okay.
I guess that goes with the whole, would you go on an adventure? You are a no. Hard no.
No, I wouldn't go. No,
you wouldn't
go
into space.
Space.
Yeah. What is your opinion on feminism?
That it's not a necessary, I don't see it as a separate
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah,
a
that's
blurb
true. It's,
or
it's changed nowadays. Like back in the, I don't even know when, was it 70s or 80s? Because it was, no, the 60s rights was just called the women's movement. And then feminism came later, I'm pretty sure. But it's
like
changed.
What is it?
It's a philosophy. Well,
wow.
Yeah, I think it's a philosophy. Me, I don't call myself a feminist, even though other people do. I call myself an egalitarian, which means that you believe in equality of all people of all genders, of all race,
all
religion.
Yeah. I'll go with that. That's what I'm saying. Why separate females and
from males?
Does, yeah.
Yeah. Why can't it just be equal?
Right.
Because the name is like a loaded word.
Yeah.
Because feminism is female.
Mm-hmm.
And it calls for the advocacy of women's rights, which means being an advocate, which I'm not willing to do.
Oh.
I'm not going to go on the streets and protest.
Yeah.
It's not in me. I'm not, you know. I'll sign a waiver that says, do you believe people should be equal? But, yeah. True. What is your opinion on the power of prayer?
That's another tough one.
Like, does it work? Or is it just silly superstition?
Well, it's not superstition, because it goes hand in hand with power of positivity, of, what was that other thing?
The intention?
Yeah, like setting an intention and...
I like to think of prayer as meditation, but there are people who have specific prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let my Billy come home from the war, and then he dies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. So some people, their prayers are always answered, and other people's, they're not. So
it depends how you take the prayers.
That's
How vague you are with your prayers.
That's right.
Be more vague with your prayers. Just believe in positivity. Yeah, because... Praying can bring about this a euphoric sense of spiritualism in people.
Right.
Like,
because
there are certain prayer groups where people are literally convulsing in joy, right? It's extreme for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because it induces the same thing in the brain that meditation does for people who are Buddhists, where it gives you this like extremely spiritual feeling and this connection to the universe and this oneness. So it can be an extremely good thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the validity that if you pray for something, it'll happen goes, the universe does what it wants. But that's just me. All right, what is your opinion on the paranormal? Are ghosts real?
That's another thing. Okay, so I believe in energy.
Like
just
spirits.
Energy.
But like, do spirits exist in a way?
I don't know. Where does the consciousness go when a body dies?
Knows.
Yeah. Is it energy?
Does
the
light
energy,
or does it stay contained somehow? Because for me, when I think of like energy and souls and stuff, it's like a soul could very well exist forever, right?
Yeah.
But what makes like the soul of Joe, let's say,
you
just to put myself there, yeah.
Yeah.
What makes it Joe after I die? Because what is my personality except a collection of my memories? And my memories clearly stay in my body when I die because
do they? Why do you say clearly?
Because what's the brain? The brain's a physical object.
Well, that...
That holds synapses because photons go into our eyes that create images. Sound waves go into our ears and, like, imprint a label, right? You drink too much, you lose memories of certain things. Or you smoke weed and you lose memories of stuff. But, like, your personality is just a collection of these memories. And they're imprinted, and the more you recount a memory, the stronger the memory becomes. So it's clearly a real thing in the brain. I mean, it's difficult to find out where it is, because you could have the smell of one memory here, the sight of that exact same memory, it's like over here in the brain. It's like all over the place, and it's very difficult to pinpoint one memory, because it's like, when you're trying to think of a memory, like, hey, what did I do last summer? Like, can you remind me? And it's like... All these different areas collect in your frontal lobe, and then you have that memory, even if it's loose.
See, I don't have
all you don't
my
have
memories
that?
Are fluted on my ears. I need other people.
True.
I need other people to remind me of things.
Yeah, but so then I would say, if all your memories die in the brain, which is very likely what happens, your soul can still very much exist. Your consciousness can exist, but then what is it without the memories? You have no memory of who you are. That's where Buddhism comes in, where it's like it goes into another body, so your soul keeps living.
Oh, yeah.
But you have no memory of your past life.
But some people do have these past life memories. So what are they supposed to be?
That's called a dream. Yeah, I have them all the time. I've had dreams where I live like 30 years. Like, I have such vivid dreams of these experiences that I've clearly never had that could seem like a past life experience, but they're not. They're called imagination.
Yeah, but people have had these, can recount these events and details of stuff that they had absolutely no knowledge of. So,
you mean like, when I was 50 in my past life, I buried this thing here, and then they actually go there and it's there or something?
No, details of like their clothing or the location or a building or something like that. And then it's like, oh yeah, 200 years ago, the building exactly as you described it, and here's the outfit that the diddly-do.
That seems the same as people who talk to ghosts, mediums. Seems like they're con artists. But obviously, I have no way to prove that. But it's like, it can be disproven as much as it can be proven. So evidence is weak at best, I would say, to those things. But it's hard to prove. Same with consciousness. Totally hard to prove whether something's real or not because it's happening inside the head. So there's no way to prove it. It's very difficult. Because you just have to take someone's word for it. You know? And then it makes it hard because people lie. So it's like, that would be a neat thing. Is if we could create an enzyme or do something, create some sort of medicine that just makes people tell the truth. I don't know how you do something like that because deceiving...
That does exist.
Truth serums exist?
Yeah.
What?
Don't they?
Suggestibility serums exist. They make you more suggestible. They lower your inhibition. But that's not the same as forcing someone to tell the truth. But if we could create something that does that where people just can't lie ever...
Yeah, but sweetie, they can't lie, but their sense of reality is so warped. Like,
yeah, you can have false memories, you can hallucinate.
Or, like, you know, certain people, like, their reality or their truth.
It's very different from actual reality.
Yeah.
Schizophrenic people and stuff like that.
Not just them, ordinary people. It's how two people totally...
view something different.
Yes.
Yeah.
The same events, completely different.
Yeah, the whole, oh, he's wearing a black shirt, oh, he's wearing a red shirt. If there's like
not even that. I'm just saying, like, you know, whatever. Next question.
Yeah, paranormal out. What is your opinion? Oh, actually, hey, look at that. 3 minutes left. I'll still ask you this, but so we're closing in. What is your opinion on legacy?
What do you mean?
Like
leaving a legacy?
Yeah, is it important that you've had a family? What if you just never had kids and then you died?
I know, it's kind of sad.
It's not happening, though, because you've had kids.
Yeah.
So do you think legacy is important to be remembered after you die?
Oh, I don't care about myself being remembered. No, I don't.
So you're fine if you just disappear with the wind the second you die?
Yeah, I don't need to leave a mark or be...
remembered.
No, that's very narcissistic.
Egotistical, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, to a point, like, especially because the people who are like that are usually dicks, like warlords or business moguls or whatever, and they still get forgotten. Like, who's to say 100,000 years from now? Like, to how long do you want to be remembered?
Yeah.
100 million years? 100 billion years? At some point, you're going to get forgotten. So, it's not like you get remembered forever, but I think it helps people go. You know, if you're not religious, all you have is... the memory other people have you. Also, I think it's a Mexican tradition. They say you die twice when the last person who remembers you forgets you or dies. It's called dying twice.
You wouldn't be around to experience that, so it wouldn't really matter.
That's true. Unless you're a Mexican skeleton ghost watching them. Okay. And you go, oh no, and then your skeleton ghost dies. Just like the movie Coco.
Do you wrap up this thing with a...
with a little zinger? Yeah, so...
Oh.
Yeah, the little thing. Do you have any plugs at all? Anything you'd like to recommend to anybody? A good book, a movie?
I just wanted to tell you, I can't remember any of that kind of stuff, so...
But nothing to recommend. Do you recommend science?
No.
Would you say, learn science, be science literate?
No.
Don't just see things at face value and say, oh, that's good. Look into it, ask questions, be curious.
No.
Do you have any passing words of wisdom to give the audience before we leave?
Oh, I didn't prepare anything.
You don't have to. Like, there's nothing that comes to mind like, hey, don't drink milk after 12. I don't know if that's a thing, but anything like that that comes to mind?
No.
Not really?
No, sorry.
What about Live, Love, Laugh?
I don't like that either.
while we're here, Love.
Well, of course, Love, but, you know.
What are you saying? Whatever to that? I hate to.
I'm just saying a lot of people use us as an excuse to do what they
bad
want.
Bad things, yeah.
Think about others is what I would say.
There we go. That's a good way to end it. Thank you very much.
Think about others before yourself.